Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1.
Jesus and his disciples went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us out among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for your word. And I pray now that as Jamie comes to speak to us, you will open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Lots of our favourite books, films and TV series are stories about battles between good and evil. Think maybe of the hobbits and their allies taking on Sauron and his orcs in Lord of the Rings, or Doctor Who fighting to save the planet from the Daleks, or Superman doing battle with Lex Luthor. And often when you watch these or read them, you can tell that the writers and the directors put a lot of effort into making the evil enemies in their stories as scary as possible. They want us to be hiding behind the sofa with our teeth chattering. But when we look at the real world around us, we can see forces of evil every bit as spine-chilling as those in the works of fiction. Think about the terrible atrocities carried out by terrorist groups, as well as the indiscriminate chemical weapons attacks that we've seen in Syria over the last few years. or recently exposed revelations about historic child abuse, or the mass shootings that seem to take place all too frequently in America. Despite the continued technological progress of society, terrible atrocities continue to occur. Well, the Bible tells us that spiritual forces are ultimately behind the evil that we see in our world. And in today's verses that we're looking at in Mark's Gospel, we see a confrontation between Jesus and the spiritual forces of evil. Prior to this passage, Jesus had shown his power over the forces of nature by calming a storm. And as he and his disciples crossed the Lake of Galilee, now upon landing, he's met by a man who, we're told in verse 2, had an impure spirit living within him. This is a man who's been completely overcome by the forces of evil. His whole life is being controlled by a demonic influence. And in Jesus' encounter with this man, we see a snapshot of the battle that's taking place around us between Jesus and the forces of evil. Now, heading up these forces of evil is the devil. 1 John 3 verse 8 tells us, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Well, the devil's work is to war against all the good things that God loves. This means the devil is out to destroy people's lives. And that brings me to my first point. The devil is out to destroy people's lives. Look at the miserable state of the man's life in verses 3 to 5 with me. "This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him any more, not even with a chain, for he had been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones." We know from the book of Genesis that when God made us, he made us in his image. We were created to be his people, living in perfect peace with him and with one another. That's life as it's meant to be. We see in the example of this man how the devil wants to mar God's image in us and destroy the perfect way of life we were made for. The evil forces that have taken control of this man have already succeeded in destroying any loving relationships with friends or family that he may have had. The man lived in the tombs, we see in verse 3. The tombs would have been set well away from any settlements. They're not a place where anyone would choose to spend their time. The evil at work in this man has forced him to isolate himself from those he may once have been close to, driving him out to this lonely and desolate place. Not only is this poor man isolated, he has no peace whatsoever. Verse 5 tells us, "Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he'd cry out and cut himself with stones." He spends all of his time restlessly roaming the wilderness in misery, all the time attacking his own body with sharp rocks. He can't find contentment in absolutely anything. Gone is the inner peace that God intended. Instead, he's filled with ruthless aggression. And so strong is the torment within this man, there's no stopping him. People have tried in the past. Verses 3 and 4 tell us, "No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him." This man would have absolutely terrified anyone who came across him. You can imagine the parents in the area telling their children, "Stay well clear of the areas that he frequented. Stay away." Now, although the man in these verses represents an extreme case, the forces of evil are very much still at work, trying to destroy lives today. I expect many of us will, to some extent, witness the pain that loneliness and damaged relationships can bring, or seen restlessness to gain wealth or status or success that's never fulfilled, or known people driven to harm themselves through the abuse of alcohol or drugs. Life as God intended it spoiled, peace between people and within them eaten away at because of the evil in this world. Well, the ultimate peace that we can find in our lives comes from having peace with God. And we can have this peace when we put our trust in Jesus. Last week, over Easter, we remembered how he died on the cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve for all the times in our lives when we disobey God. The devil doesn't want us to have this peace. He wants to destroy our lives. If you're not yet a Christian, the devil wants you to forget anything you hear about Jesus and how he can save you. He wants you to put it to the back of your mind. He wants you to think to yourself, this isn't for me. My encouragement to you is to do the opposite, to take the time to look into the Christian faith, look into who Jesus is and what his death on the cross means. Now, a Christian can never be physically possessed by a demon like the man in these verses was, because we have God's Holy Spirit living within us. The Bible's very clear on that. However, the devil will still attack us. He will tempt us to do things that seem like a great idea on the surface, but that are no good for us at all. Maybe it's the temptation to join in the gossip about your colleague. The tempter says, go on, it'll make you more popular. Maybe it's the temptation to disregard the Bible's teaching on sex and relationships. The tempter says, it's outdated, it's just stopping you from having a good time. Or maybe it's the temptation to take revenge on someone who's hurt you. The tempter says, Jesus may have said that you should forgive, but this doesn't count. You deserve to be able to get your own back on this person. You'll feel better when you do. In all these cases, the devil wants us to think that God is a killjoy who can't be trusted. These verses remind us that the devil is out to ruin our lives, not to make them better. It's a truth that we need to keep in mind so that we're prepared when temptations come. Because the struggle against temptation can be extremely hard. We've seen how strong the forces of evil can be in this man's life. No human hand could restrain him. Well, thankfully, we're not alone in our struggle. And in these verses, we also see that as strong as the forces of evil may be, the power of Jesus is far stronger. And that brings me to my second point. Jesus is more powerful than any force of evil. Jesus is more powerful than any force of evil. Take a look at verses 6 to 13 again with me. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. This encounter isn't like the battles between superheroes and supervillains that we see in films, where usually everything seems pretty evenly matched right until the very end, when the hero manages to win the day by the skin of their teeth. It's clear from the outset that there's only going to be one winner here. Despite the fact that this evil demonic presence is out to oppose God's purposes, it recognizes who Jesus is, calling him Son of Most High God. It also realizes that it stands no chance against Jesus. Jesus says simply, come out of this man, you impure spirit. And immediately the demonic presence admits defeat and begs Jesus not to be tortured. This despite the fact that we learn that it's not just one demon that Jesus is up against in this man. Although it identifies itself by a singular name, Legion, the evil presence is made up of a number of demons, saying, we are many. The name Legion is the term used for a Roman military unit of 3,000 to 5,000 men, suggesting that it's a great multitude of demons that are united in this evil presence in this one man. Now, the demons beg Jesus to be allowed to enter this nearby herd of pigs once they left the man, and Jesus allows their request, and resulting in the pigs rushing down the hillside and drowning in the lake. Jesus doesn't have to grant the demon's request. We've already seen that he's in complete control of the situation. But just as the demon's impact on the possessed man's life provides an important warning about the forces of evil, their impact on the pigs also highlights some important truths to us, as it should have to those who witnessed these events. The loss of the pig herd once again emphasizes the sheer ruthless destruction of life that the forces of evil in our world seek. It also highlights the great, great cost of saving a human life. In fact, the cost to save our lives from the destructive power of evil once and for all was far greater than the value of a herd of pigs. The price was Jesus' own life, the life of the precious Son of God, the only man who never gave in to the power of evil, who never sinned against God. At the cross, Jesus gave up his life in our place to save us from the forces of evil and rose again after 3 days. No opposing power, not even death, can overcome him. It reminded me a little of one of the exhibits at Drusilla Zoo, I don't know if any of you have been, where you come and you pull on ropes to see how strong different animals are. There's one for a fox, one for a beaver, and one for a serval cat, and if you pull on those, if you pull hard enough, you can get them to move. But the last one is a cart horse, and it will not budge. And as a child, I wanted to know why that was, so I had a peep through the hole that this rope came through one day, and I could see it was tethered to a steel post cemented into the ground. It was never going to move, no matter how hard you pulled. And when we come to Jesus, evil powers have no more chance against us than a little child trying to tug away at this steel post rooted firmly in the ground. Jesus is the immovable object. He's the unstoppable force who will bring us safely into God's perfect new creation if we cling to him. So whenever we're feeling fearful or downhearted because of the evil in our world, as Christians, we can be confident that no matter how powerful the evil force, Jesus is far stronger. When the people watching the pigs saw them rush down the hill into the water as they left the possessed man, they could see that the power of Jesus over the forces of evil was in no doubt. And when we look to the cross as Christians, we can be reminded that ultimately the forces of evil in our world have been defeated. Any attempt to spoil our relationship with God is doomed to failure, as Jesus has paid the price totally for all our sins. Our future in heaven is secure. There's nothing we have to fear. We're heading for a future in God's perfect new creation where all the evil in this world will be banished if we put our trust in Jesus. Whatever the nature of the evil that we come up against, the solution is the same: to cling to Jesus and look to the cross. Our passage ends with a remarkable turnaround in the possessed man. His encounter with Jesus results in a changed life. And that's my last point. Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes lives. Let's take a look at the changes that we see in this man's life in verses 14 to 16. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. So previously, this man had been tearing around the countryside with no clothes on, tormented and raving madly to himself. Now, he was sitting peacefully, dressed and in his right mind. Jesus has restored him from the tormented shadow of a man that he was while he was under the control of the demons. The demons wanted to spoil the image of God in him by taking away his dignity, making him run around naked, raving madly while attacking his own body. Now he was clothed, sitting calmly, talking normally. Jesus had restored his dignity, the dignity that God intended when he created us. Well, despite the amazing positive turnaround in this man's life as a result of his encounter with Jesus, some of the people who saw what happened wanted Jesus out of the area as soon as possible. They begged him to leave. These people were frightened when they saw the power of Jesus. They were worried what else might happen if he stayed around. And this response that people still make to Jesus today, they want to keep him at a distance, worried about the changes that he might bring. This response to the life-changing power of Jesus reminded me of a conversation that I had with one of my friends while I was at university. I'd asked this friend a number of times to come along to events that with talks about Jesus that the Christian Union had put on. But each time, he declined the invitation. During one evening, working late, revising for exams, he confided in me that the reason that he didn't want to come to these talks was that he was afraid that he would become a Christian. More specifically, he was afraid that he would become a Christian and that he would have to change some aspects of his life. He didn't want to be confronted with the evidence that the Bible's claims were true, because he absolutely didn't want to change his life. So he was determined to keep Jesus at a distance. One person who definitely didn't want to keep Jesus at a distance is the man he saved from the demons. Let's take a look at verses 18 and 19. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Having had his life changed, this man now wants to follow Jesus wherever he goes. Jesus, however, tells the man he should stay and tell the people in the region all about what God has done for him. He was clearly a valuable witness to Jesus' ministry in this area, which had 10 nearby cities nearby, which were known as the Decapolis. The man obeyed Jesus, and verse 20 tells us, he went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. If you're someone who hasn't yet put your trust in Jesus, please don't be like the people in these verses who saw Jesus' life-changing power and asked him to leave. Don't be like my friend who didn't want to find out about Jesus because he was scared about how his life might change. Yes, Jesus does change lives, but he changes them for the better. He restores life to how it was always meant to be. A restored relationship with God is something that we all need. Whether you're someone who's desperate to see change in their life, or someone who's feeling contented with their life as it is. And this restored relationship, this peace, is only available when we put our trust in Jesus. Following Jesus may mean changes to your life, but the sure hope of eternal life that it brings is well worth it. For those of us who are Christians, let's be spurred on to keep on following and obeying Jesus. The testimony of those whose lives have been changed by him continues to be valuable today. Let's keep sharing our testimony about what he's done in our lives with those around us, those who, like us, need his life-changing power in their lives. And we shouldn't be disheartened or give up if people reject our invitations to come to church or to church events. We've seen it's nothing new or unusual for people to try to keep Jesus at arm's length out of their lives because they're scared of the changes that he might bring. So as we finish, I hope in today's verses we've seen that the devil is out to ruin our lives, but Jesus is more powerful than any force of evil, and that he changes lives, restoring people to what God made us to be. The devil may try to trick us and tempt us to disobey Jesus. He wants us to think that we're missing out by following Jesus, living as the Bible tells us. But as we've seen in these verses, the devil is out to destroy lives. He wants to hurt us, not help us. Our powerful Savior Jesus can help us to resist him. Because of Jesus, we don't have to fear any evil as Christians, because he is far stronger. Let's stay close to Jesus and reject the devil's temptations. And if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus as Savior, I'd urge you to keep looking into the Christian faith. Ask questions. speak to Christian friends, or come and talk to me at the end of the service. And when you're ready, make that step and put your trust in Jesus. Don't delay. Yes, following him will change your life, but it's a change for the better. It leads to life to the full, as God intended it, in a restored relationship with your Creator, and with eternity in his perfect new creation to look forward to. I'm going to pray as we finish. Lord God, thank you for sending your Son into this world to save us. Because of him, there's no force of evil that we must fear. Help us to embrace his life-changing power to restore us to the people that you made us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.